In the last couple weeks, we've been following Jesus' ministry in the region of Galilee, hearing about his teaching, healing, and casting out unclean spirits. So just to recap, 2 weeks ago, Jesus sent out the 12 apostles, and they also, like Jesus, went out proclaiming that all should repent, casting out demons, and curing the sick. And then last week we heard that the apostles were so successful at that that King Herod heard about it and thought it was John the Baptist raised from the dead. And then the narrative was interrupted to tell us about how Herod had beheaded John the Baptist. So the gospel today picks up where the 12 apostles, with the 12 apostles returning to Jesus. The Holy Gospel, according to Mark, chapter 6, starting at verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them. And they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?' And he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to the Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, and they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore, and they got out of the boat, and the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or the countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and the children are invited to join Paul Hulk out in the comfy chairs. And they'll be reading Psalm 23 again, and this version illustrated by Tim Ludwig. This past week, I guess it was 2 Fridays ago that we heard that my husband Brady's grandpa, Frank, had died quite unexpectedly. So this Thursday, we made the trek to Medicine Hat for his funeral on Friday and came back yesterday. So it's been a long week and not a comfortable drive for me. But I think what I'll miss about Frank is the stories about him, about what he's been up to lately, and whether it's driving through Medicine Hat at 92 or changing his mind about which hand-built canoe he was going to give to which grandchild. And even just 2 weeks ago, when we were out, 3 weeks ago when we were out camping, I heard one last story about Frank. And so Frank had been living by himself for quite a few years and had a housekeeper coming in every week to tidy the house. And the family knew that he'd been, before the housekeeper came every week, he would vacuum the floor before the housekeeper came and clean the bathroom mirror so that it was spotless before she came. And just recently, they'd started to notice that the bathroom mirror wasn't cleaned anymore and started to wonder and found out that this housekeeper, he was cleaning before she got there so that he could get her to sit down and have a cup of coffee and listen to his stories about canoes and about dogs and about the war. And, you know, it kind of scratched her heads. Why is he having someone come over? But he loved more than anything having someone to sit and listen to his stories. He had so many of them. And in this housekeeper was a person who saw that what he needed wasn't someone to come clean his house, but someone to sit and drink a cup of coffee with him and listen to his stories. And I was reflecting on that and reflecting on the text this week, and I realized that twice in this lesson, in this gospel lesson, Jesus changes his plans when he sees someone's need. First, he's crossing the sea with the disciples to take them to a deserted place, place in the middle of nowhere where there's no one, so that they can have a rest. And they get there, and they're surrounded by people. And instead of sending them away or trying to go somewhere else, even more deserted, Jesus sees the crowd and sees that they are like sheep without a shepherd and teaches them. He changes his plans and teaches them and feeds them too. And then afterwards, he sends his disciples off in the boat again, and being Jesus, he doesn't need a boat, walks across the sea. And again, he was just going to walk straight across to the other side, but he sees that the disciples are struggling. And again, he changes his course and gets in the boat with them, because that's what he does. He sees their need, and he goes to them and has compassion and helps them out. Now, I have to admit, when I looked at the texts for today, I was a little confused as to what the gospel lesson had to do with the first lesson and the Old Testament and the Psalm, because usually they have something to do with each other, and I was scratching my head, Jesus teaching and healing, and what does that have to do with sheep? But it's that line, Jesus sees that they are like sheep without a shepherd. That's what shepherds do. They mind their flock, and doesn't matter what the shepherd's got planned, the shepherd goes where the sheep need the shepherd to be. So shepherds are common in the Bible. We've heard Psalm 23, probably the most famous psalm out there, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And it's a beautiful image. And we see in the gospel today how Jesus is a shepherd, pulling people or going to people and adjusting his plans according to their need. And it's a beautiful image, but it's also, as we hear in the Old Testament lesson, a political image. In the Bible and just in the Near East in ancient times, the image of a shepherd was often used to show what a good king should be. So Jeremiah says, "You kings of Israel," in his time, "you aren't good shepherds." So as God, God will be their shepherd instead of these human kings. And when Jesus sees the people and sees that they are like sheep without a shepherd, you think of King Herod last week, and he was a pretty awful shepherd, not much of a shepherd at all. So for Jesus to see them and say, "These people are like sheep without a shepherd," is a link that is just a hint that Jesus is the true king for these people. So we have these two images of shepherd: the shepherd, that personal shepherd who bends down and seeks even just one sheep that's strayed. And we also have the public shepherd, the ruler, the good king. The king that only Jesus can be, only God can be that good shepherd for us. And I look around today at our leaders and see that, again, only Jesus, only God is our true shepherd. But in our lives, I think of Frank and how that housekeeper, that woman was the shepherd for Frank, companioning him, staying with him, and befriending him. So what does the shepherd do for you right now? Who is that shepherd for you? For me these days, it could be as simple as someone giving me permission to rest, to put my feet up with my swollen ankles and take a break. But it could be someone befriending you. It could be someone guarding your way. For Maria, I heard a bit of Maria's story, who's going to be baptized just shortly. And for Maria, I think it's that just giving life, and more life, abundant life. I think that's what that's what Maria's shepherd does for her. That image of the feast and anointing the head in Psalm 23. The shepherd also seeks us when we go astray, defends us from sin, Does the shepherd for you fill your spirit? Shepherd chooses us first before we choose the shepherd. Shepherd hears us when we pray, and as we heard in the gospel, offers his cloak to us to touch and be healed. The shepherd gives us the kingdom and is our king. The shepherd stays beside us all our days. The shepherd sets a feast before us and gives us rest. And above all, the shepherd loves us all the days of our lives. So what does the shepherd do for you today?